Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Come on, you can praise Him. Come on, you can praise Him. Hallelujah. And God, we, Your people, are going to be obedient. As You decree, let everything that have breath give You the praise and give You the glory. Yes, God. We're so unworthy, Lord, but we stand in Your presence. This is the every
I am lost without You, Lord. I am lost without You, God. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for dying for me, Jesus. I thank You, Lord. Good evening and welcome to Commission by Submission on the Melting Pot Radio Network with your host, Daniel Trowick, and my partner in progress, Miss Danny Wright, who will be joining us momentarily. And I'm honored and blessed and just so excited to have Danny talk about her ministry, the Well Woman's ministry, along with Veronica Crafton, who's also a part of the ministry and also the founder of the Sisterhood, which is another ministry. And we're just going to have some worshiping woman on the line with us tonight to just share their ministries and the things that they have going on in those ministries. And, you know, I figured that there was no better person I could find to open this show with me and just bless the airwaves. You know, my wonderful worshiping woman, Mrs. Lynette Trowick, which is my wife, guys. I was the geeky laugh. I'm so sorry. God is amazing, y'all. God is amazing. So I want to bring my wife on. Lynette. How you doing tonight?
Yes. I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am amazing because God blessed me with you. All right? See?
Oh, look at a little corny line.
little corny lines over the airwaves, and everyone can see that I'm a corny dude who loves his wife. It's okay. I mean, those who have been listening to the network since our inception already know I love my wife anyway, so it's okay. It's nothing new to the people. So just deal with it. But welcome to the show tonight. Thank you for joining us as we get ready for Danny and Veronica to join us momentarily. And as you guys all know, we like to start the show off in prayer. So let us all look to the Lord. Father God, I thank you for allowing us to see this new day. Lord, I thank you for just blessing us and allowing us to see this moment right now, Lord. I thank you for the traveling mercies that you granted us to get to and from the places that we needed to be and back home safely. And those who are still yet out on the road, I just pray you just continue to grant them the traveling mercies to make it home as well. And I thank you for this platform that you have blessed Danny and I with to talk about you, God. Talk about your greatness and your gracious, mighty, powerful, amazing, wonderful, magnificent ways that you are who you are. God, you are the great I am. And I thank you for being who you said you are and always honoring your word, Lord. I thank you for being a God who answers prayers. And I pray to you tonight, Lord, to just continue to bless Danny and the women of the Well Women's Ministry and just continue to touch them in their ministry, continue to speak through them as they go out and empower a world full of your women, your daughters, God, and just continue to just strengthen their ministry and allow everything that they have envisioned inside of them that you have gave them to just continue to just grow the ministry and just continue to do the things that you are calling them to do, Lord. And the same goes for Veronica and the sisterhood. Continue to build that ministry and strengthen that ministry as they continue to go forth and speak life and speak wonderful blessings into those women who are called by you, Lord, to get closer to you, to build a stronger relationship with you, God. And I just pray you just have your way on this show tonight and just allow us to glorify you and magnify your name, because you are worthy, God. And we thank you, we love you, and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Amen. Now, Lynette, you know what the show is about tonight. We have Danny and Veronica who will be joining us to talk about the sisterhood and the Well Women's Ministry. And the Well Women's Ministry, Danny is going to talk to you guys a little bit more about that, but I can give you this much info of it. You know, it is derived from the woman in the well, at the well, in the Bible. And that's where the ministry came from, the vision for the ministry, and that scripture. And, you know, they will be able to talk more about it. But I want to just go into the scripture a little bit and just read the scripture and just start there. And, you know, when they come on, then we can bring them on and they can talk about the ministry and the things that they're doing. So I'm just going to jump in. John 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith, unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saith thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye now know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her, with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did, and is not this the Christ? Then they went out to the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye not know of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white, are ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto this woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Wow. Mm-hmm. That scripture is so powerful. The scripture mm-hmm. is so powerful. And Lynette, real quick, what mm-hmm. you know, do you get from that scripture?
Well, one of the main things that stood out to me was, you know, God already knows us. I think at times he tests us. He wants to know, you know, he's testing our faith in him. And the part in that scripture that stood out to me was when Jesus said, go and get your husband. He knew she didn't have a husband, you know, but it was up to her to say,
okay, look, I don't have a husband. You know, he straight up told her, look, I know you don't have a husband. You got five of them. You know, and I think he does the same thing now to us. He relies on us. He wants us to come to him, to tell him what we need and what we want, although he already knows what we need and what we want, obviously. But we just have to come to him and trust him with those things, you know, and just be honest and be true with it. Because he already knows. He just wants to hear it from us. You know, so that's one of the things that really stood out to me in that scripture. Trust in the Lord.
Oh, yeah, and you hit it right on, you know, when he asked her to go get her husband, when he knew for a fact that she didn't have a husband. He knew everything about her because Jesus is God, and he knew all things that were going on. And so that's one of the main things that sticks out to me. But the other thing that really, really, really sticks out to me is, you know, verse 4. And the way that it was written by John in the Bible, it just shows how serious of a matter that this was when he said, the scripture says, and he must needs go through Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when it said he must go through Samaria, if it didn't have needs, if it just said he must is a serious word to begin with, you know. You know, it could have said he has to go through Samaria. Mm-hmm. He had to. No, it said he must. But then it intensified it when it said needs. So he must needs. That just showed how serious of a nature that it was that he go through Samaria. And that just really just blows my mind with Jesus Christ and the way that he works because, you know, Jesus knows the end game before he starts anything. He knew everything because he was God. So everything was known to him. So the things that he did along the way, he already knew what was going to happen, and he knew the reason that he was doing it, and he knew the fact that, you know, his disciples would learn more along the way, and he knew that the people that he came across would find God through him and the things that he was doing. And this right there, just the way that he went about this whole situation, you know, knowing that, now I can get real deep into this scripture, but I'm not going to. I'm gonna save that for Danny and Veronica, and I'm gonna let them go in there. But you know, this scripture is very, very, very important, and it's, I mean, to me, it's one of the best stories in the Bible because we know, the Bible readers know that, you know, the Jews and Samaritans, they were not friends. You know, they did not get along. And, you know, we know this, the story of the Good Samaritan. We know these stories. And, you know, Samaria and the Samaritans always had pretty much a bad name that go with them in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus knew that, knew the things that people perceived them to be, but allowed his stories and the things that he did to show people that, I mean, we are a little bit like Samaritans. I mean, when you really think about it, I'm pretty sure that each and every one of us has at some point in time been talked about negatively, been perceived as somebody who was no good, that couldn't do right. I mean, we've all had somebody hate on us in that way. And you know, Jesus used his experiences and his stories to show that, to open the eyes of people that, yes, you may have been talked about, you may have been looked at in a negative way, but God can still use you. God can still have you to give him the glory out of the things that you do on this earth. And, you know, it's such an amazing thing when I look back over so many stories in this Bible and just I mean, you have to really study the Bible, guys. You have to study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. So he's saying pretty much you got to study the Word and really, really study the Word. Just reading the Word and studying the Word are two completely different things. And the more you get into it, the more you delve into the word and you study, you meditate on it, the more understanding that the Holy Spirit will bring to you. And I mean, over my lifetime, Lynette, I want to ask you this real quick. We have some callers on the line that I want to jump over to in a second. But, you know, the more I read the Bible over my lifetime, from the time that I was young and me knowing that my name was Daniel and me knowing where my name came from, that automatically gave me the interest in reading the Bible. So the first book that I read in the Bible was the book of Daniel. And I read it when I was about 8 years old or something like that, when I was an avid reader at that time. And, you know, so it was, okay, I read it. It was like, all right, I read it. And I really didn't understand what the heck I was reading. I didn't understand nothing about King James Version, the way the words were. I could barely speak and write English to a certain extent at 8 years old. So I'm sitting here reading the King James Version, and it's like, yo, I don't know nothing about this. And fast forward about 2 years ago, when I reread Daniel again, and I got a little bit more understanding. You know, some things started sticking out to me, you know, with him fasting, you know, the three Hebrew boys and him, you know, interpreting dreams and things like that. But then this past year, I read it again, and it was mind-blowing. It was, it was just so much new revelation. So much new revelation. You know, can you talk about, you know, the importance of studying and having that Holy Spirit, like, really seep inside your heart to really get to the Word of God?
Yeah. That's always been mind-blowing to me. It's just, you can read the Bible, the same verse, so many times, and every time get something different out of it. You know, and I've had similar experiences to what you explained just now. And when I was younger, I read the Bible, you know, not even straight through, but maybe parts of the Bible, certain verses, different things like that. As I got older, I wanted to read the Bible. It was just a goal to read the Bible, you know, just because it was just something to do. As maybe in my late teens, early 20s, it was just a goal to read the Bible. But it never didn't really have much meaning at that point to me, because I knew who God was, but I didn't have the relationship with him that I do now. So, you know, I read it, and, you know, some things stood out. It was like, okay, that was cute. You know, some of the things in Proverbs that you kind of remember, they kind of stand out and stick in your brain. And some of the Psalms that stick out, you know, one of my favorite scriptures, you know, I will praise thee for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I remember that from vacation Bible school when I was younger. You know, but now that I have the relationship with God that I have, and now that I have the Holy Spirit in me, you know, it's so important to pray. You know, prayer is important. And that's one of the things that I prayed about, you know, in my recent years, is just, Lord, just reveal to me whatever it is that you want me to get out of your word. And I just love how he just shows me so many different things and so many different aspects, even in this exact same verse, you know. And I just thank God for the Holy Spirit, because he is exactly what he's supposed to be. He is a teacher. You know, he teaches you exactly what you're supposed to learn through his word. You know, and he's a reminder. It's times where I may be walking down the street and I remember, you know, a scripture. And like I said, it may have been that one scripture that I knew from when I was young. I was crazy, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But that helped me in so many different occasions. Whereas I may not had that relationship with God before, he knew me, so I'm grateful for that. So through the Holy Spirit, even though I didn't know about the Holy Spirit being so young, through the Holy Spirit, he helped to remind me that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, that, you know, I didn't have to walk in the negativity that other people tried to put on me. You know, because I'm God's child, and that's that. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So the Holy Spirit is awesome. He is a teacher. He is a reminder. He is He is. She's just awesome. You know, God is just awesome in all his form. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
That Bible, man. That Bible is something serious, y'all. Something serious.
Yeah.
So get that Bible and read that Bible. Now, my partner in progress is here. She's in the building, the virtual building, that is. But Danny, welcome to the show tonight, girl.
What's up, y'all?
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Nathan.
So I want to bring you on, and I want to bring the amazing and wonderful Veronica Crafton back on to Commission by Submission. Veronica, how you doing tonight, sis?
I am well. How are you? So glad to be on.
I am wonderful. Thank you for taking the time out to join us tonight. Now, Danny, I'm not interviewing you. I just want you to know that. You take it and just take it how you want to take it.
Excuse me. I'm a guest tonight. I am a guest tonight, and I expect to be treated as such. That is not the ministry of Jesus.
All right, Danny. I am so sorry, sis. Please, Miss Danny Wright, tell us about the Well Women's Ministry.
Wow. I honestly don't know where to start. This ministry has been such a blessing. If it ain't blessed nobody else, it has surely blessed me. But it didn't start out as a ministry. When we first started, it was just a vision God gave me to have a service for women, free of charge, and to bring in other women to preach with me. That was it. There was no ministry. It didn't have a name. But then after speaking with another friend, Katrina, I said, you know what, I want to call it The Well. We started talking about the significance of the well. We started talking about the spiritual significance of a well and of water. And not just the spiritual significance, but also the cultural significance of the well. And so obviously the spiritual significance is getting filled, getting purified and cleansed and filled up and getting what you need. But then the cultural significance was, in the first century, women went to the well. It was a meeting place. It was a place of community. And they went there and they socialized, and they also filled their buckets with water to supply their family's needs. So, and they also would help each other draw the water. So when we think about the significance of a well, it's more than just, oh, let me dip my bucket down and get this water and then walk back with it. If you've ever filled a bucket up, think about a bucket that you fill up when you're washing your car and how heavy that is. Now imagine having to carry multiple buckets back to your family. They didn't have cars, they were walking. But they helped each other get what they needed. And so that's the significance of the Well Women's Ministry, that it's not just us. You're not just going to get what you need individually, but you're also there to assist and help and meet other women and help other women also get what they need. And corporately, we all gonna get what we need. And so after that, it wasn't even after the service. It was in the middle of the service. Katrina Jackson looked back at me and she said, "Danny, this ain't it." I said, "You're right." She said, "This is just the beginning. This is just the start. This is just the first service." And from there, after that, it was like that night that ministry was birthed. It was born. And the ministry itself was something God laid on my heart back in 2008, because I was still at home, and I was going through stuff, and I was running from my calling, and I was also, I felt very hurt by the church, and so I couldn't even fathom starting a ministry because I didn't have anybody that was supportive of me. And one of the churches I was in before told me, "You're not ready to be in ministry." And I said, "No, but God called me to do this." "Well, we'll tell you when you're ready." And I thought, that doesn't sound right, but I'm going to be obedient. And I allowed that to distract me and really discourage me from ministering, even though I knew I was called. And God chased me for 7 years, and I ran from starting the ministry. I was licensed to be a minister in 2013. But as far as actually starting the ministry that God laid on my heart, it took me 7 years. And since then, and for those of you that don't know my full story, a piece of my story is that for years I have suffered from depression. I've battled it. There were times where I just put on a mask and pretended to be happy because that was the only way I thought I was going to make it through the day. Since this ministry started, and I just told the ladies this on the prayer call, since this ministry has started, I cannot recall one single day in the last 2 months where I have felt an ounce of depression. And so that's the Well ministry. That's what it's all about. We had women at the first service that got delivered. We had one woman who the doctors told her that she had MS. She got prayed for. She went to the doctor last week, and they said, "Your numbers are so low, we can't even find traces of the disease."
Amen.
So, I mean, that's just the Well ministry, the Well Women's ministry in a nutshell.
That good old number 7. You said 7 years, isn't it? The number of completion.
The number of completion.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
My favorite number.
Yep. And the other thing about the ministry is, and one of the reasons why even Veronica and I connected, and we connected through the Sleepless Society group. But since then, we have become, I mean, business partners and accountability partners and prayer partners. And she was the catalyst for getting things in motion, because after the first service, the next day she woke up and told me, "I have the next service planned."
Yes. Yes. It was planned out the next day.
The next day.
Wow. Wow.
I'm talking, I don't even think I had gotten in the shower yet, and she was talking about the next service.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Everybody needs that accountability, too. That's a good thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And can I just say, too, that, you know, Danny was so diligent about the service. She made sure everything was in place because, you know, the other ladies were coming in from out of town. And so Danny really did that first service by herself. I mean, we had a little bit of input, but I didn't meet the other ladies until I got to Ohio. I mean, I think my flight landed at maybe 5 o'clock. The service started at 7, so there was very little time. We prayed together beforehand, but the way that it came together, you knew it was God, because under what circumstances can you meet total strangers and just mesh so well?
Right.
That's how you know, when things just flow. what he asks you, no trouble or sorrow comes with it. So that's exactly what it was. Everything just flowed. Everything that I had or suggestions that I had for our next service were all in the tactical, you know, things that we could change. It had nothing to do with our style of ministering. It had nothing to do with, okay, well, maybe you shouldn't do this next time, or maybe you shouldn't do that next time. No, it was the strategic plan or the order of service. Everything else was really flawless. And the other women that attended, you know, they didn't know that we didn't know each other until that night. And actually, right. Danny and I had spoken, but that was our first time seeing each other in person.
Right.
Right. that's how you know it was meant to be. It just flowed the way that it flowed. And you guys had never, you know, felt that physical chemistry yet.
Right. But yeah. Even before that, I feel that the Well Women's Ministry came about because for what, Veronica, 3 or 4 months before that, Veronica started the Sisterhood Women's Group as an extension of the other group meet. And it's because of that I felt through all of the prayers, the weekly prayer calls and the pouring in that we received from other women, it made it so easy, and I felt compelled to start the ministry or to have that service, because I was going to put it off until 2016 and try to make it something, you know, bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And God was just like, no, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. And I told Veronica this. I said, if it weren't for meeting her, if it weren't for the prayer call, there's no way that I probably would have remained disobedient. As many times as God said go, I would have been paralyzed because I didn't feel that I had the support. And because of those prayer calls, I began to pray, God, please send. Please send, I know, and that was the other thing. I knew all along I was not supposed to be in ministry by myself. And so I just started praying for God to just send me people. You know, please show me who I'm supposed to be doing this with, because I can't take being burned again.
Yeah.
I can't take being burned by the church. These are supposed to be God's people. I'm supposed to be God's people, and I'm becoming almost bitter by the struggle to connect with other people of God, and I couldn't understand it. But I'm telling you, the sisterhood and just Veronica's diligence and her discipline and doing that call every Thursday at 6 a.m., that was for me, was like, look, you know, this is something that's needed. And I saw the need for women to connect with other women, and it was just like literally,
yes,
like the scripture says, fire shut up in my bones, and I had to move. I had to move on it.
That's amazing. So I'd like to talk about the sisterhood for a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Yeah, that was my question. How did the sisterhood come to be?
Yes.
Okay, so the sisterhood. So as Danny said, we met through an app, and that's also something that is just so amazing. There's an app called GroupMe, and that's where we met. And in this app, that's how I met every person that's doing this call right now. And that in itself is amazing. So
right.
In the group, there are several entrepreneurs and me being new to entrepreneurship. This is my third year in. I know my craft, but I didn't necessarily know the business aspect. So there was a lot I needed to learn, and there was a lot that I could learn from other entrepreneurs, which is why we're so attracted to this group. It also happens that several members of the group are Christians, and so not only do we get counsel from each other, but we can get godly counsel from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made the group so attractive. And I remember hearing the person who started the group, David Shands, he talked about a speaking engagement that he was going to be a part of. And the other men in the speaking engagement, they would pray. He said how they would pray together every day the week before their conference. And I said, that's pretty awesome. I definitely understand the power of prayer. I know how it can unify and bring people together. That's awesome. Now that I know all of these amazing women, powerful, beautiful, strong Christian women, why aren't we praying together? Like, why do the men need to pray? I want to pray. So I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm going to set something aside for us. I want to do the same thing but with women. And I said to myself, okay, I'm going to need some help, so I want another woman to help me. So I told her about it. She thought it was a great idea, and she said, yeah, sure, I'm on board. I said, okay, great, awesome, I've got a partner in this. Now, here's the thing. It never happened. That thought that I had came in, I would say, maybe around May or June. The sisterhood did not start until the end of August, September, or the beginning of September. The reason why is because I was never supposed to have that other woman on the call with me. If I can be transparent, if we're just being real, the reason why I asked her was so that all of the responsibility would not be on me. When God made it crystal clear that was my assignment, the woman that I asked to do it, she wasn't wrong at all for not doing it, even though she said she would consider it, because that was never her assignment. That wasn't what God gave to her. God gave it to me. I gave it to her. So it's okay that she walked away from it or didn't participate on it. But because of that, I let it sit. I let it sit for a couple of months. Like I said, it didn't start until August. So it came back, you know, God was kept pressing on it, and saying, Veronica, what did I tell you to do? And so I said, okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and start. So that's when the group started, the sisterhood. And really it was, being transparent, it was to fill a void. I was going through a period in my life where I didn't really have, I didn't feel like I had a strong connection with other Christian women that I could pray with that understood what I was going through. And I had it once before, but I didn't have it anymore, and I missed it. I prayed that I longed for it, and God knew that. God saw that ache in my heart and that needing in my heart for that bond, that sisterhood, that connection. And so out of that, I said, I know I'm not alone. And that's when the group was birthed. At the very beginning, there may have been about 30-something women that were invited. And since then, it's grown. But the reason why it's grown is because healthy things grow. And because I decided to be obedient and follow God and what He called me to do, because it was not at all just for me. I mean, you see what Danny just said. I didn't know it at the time, but other women needed something from other women. Other women needed things from me. I needed things from other women in the group. We needed things from each other. And that could have only happened had I been obedient for this season and many of our lives, that obedience required. So that's what the sisterhood has been. Another thing that, you know, little life lessons in this is that I recently, at the beginning of this year, 2016, I asked Danny to assist me with the calls. Now, understand, when God gave me the sisterhood, I knew even before the very first prayer call that Danny was going to help me. and that she was going to be, well, not necessarily help me, but she was going to be a part of the sisterhood, because the sisterhood does not necessarily belong to me. It belongs to every woman in the group. I just started it. But I always knew that Danny was going to be a part of it. However, she didn't really start until this month. That is because I had to show the diligence. I had to show that this is something that I could be obedient over, because there are things that God has in store for me that are going to be greater and a more responsibility than the sisterhood, things that I'm going to be called to be accountable for, to be more diligent about. And see, God has to trust you with a few before he can trust you with a lot.
Would you go on
so
and preach?
Sisterhood, the sisterhood was my few. That is the beginning of my few. And
yes,
because I've seen it, I know where he's going. I know where he's taking me. I know where he needs me to go and the work that he needs me to do. Everything that I have asked for in prayer is coming to pass. Everything that I need for not just my business, but for my family, for my friends, for my surroundings, everything that I could possibly need is there because God has provided for it. But see, sometimes we get so busy asking God for these things, but we forget that we're a big part of that. And sometimes we can't access it because we haven't done the work. Where God told me, Veronica, I got everything you need. Here it is right here. Everything that you want, you can have. You're my daughter. Mm-hmm. I love you. Of course I'm going to bless you abundantly, because my thoughts are higher than their thoughts. My words are higher than your ways. But even what you think you're going to get, you're going to get even more. However, you've got to do your part. You've got to do your part. So the sisterhood was part of my part. Once I showed that diligence, then he said, okay, go ahead. You're good. Danny can come. But I had to show the diligence.
Right,
I
had
to show that every Thursday morning, whether I wanted to or not, at 6 a.m., I was going to get up and do that call. Whether people called or not, I was up at 6 a.m. on Thursday morning with a prepared lesson for 30 minutes every Thursday. So it was also about that, and understanding that God never does anything for just one person. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of, he doesn't just add, he multiplies. So the sisterhood is a perfect example of that. Perfect example of that. Because everything that it's a part of, everything that it means, everything that it stands for, every woman that is in it has been blessed in some sort of way.
Right.
We do business with each other. We pray together. I can't tell you how many times one of us has, you know, been in each other's inbox or called each other on a whim or said or gave each other a word of encouragement, and we didn't even know what was going on. We didn't even know what was going on in each other's lives, but we were able to confirm each other, to uplift each other, empower each other, help each other, because we can't do it alone. We need accountability partners. We need sisters that can lift us up in the world when we don't quite feel like it.
We need
that.
And I think also, like Veronica hit on something that's so key, is that when she said that, you know, it's not just for us, we're not meant to do it alone. And if you look at the ministry of Jesus, whenever he sent his disciples out, he sent them out in at least pairs. There's always at least two of them going somewhere together. And the reason being is for accountability, for encouragement, for motivation, but also because of the fact that if I get lost, who's going to come find me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who knows I'm lost?
Yeah.
So we need each other. And I feel, and I always felt, and God connected me with Veronica, Joy, Renita, and Katrina because we all had the same feeling about ministry. We were tired of women beating down other women to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Because that same head that you stepped on is the same face that you're going to see on your way down.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's just not right.
It's just not nice.
It's not. And the thing that, you know, is going on right now And we sensed it in our Sleepless Society group of entrepreneurs, but it also stands true and it spilled over to the sisterhood. How many organizations or big groups of, and let's just be real, black women, of lots mm-hmm. of black women that are praying together, working together,
mm-hmm.
there's no cattiness. There's no cattiness. There's no drama in this group. There's no one's ever came to me and said, you know what so-and-so said? It's not happening, because that's not the culture that we're setting. We're setting a new culture for a new day, for a new generation to do a new thing. This is a new thing. And behold, all new things, they're going to work for God, because God is at the head of it. So because of what we're doing, this isn't going to stop here. Like I said, healthy things grow. The Sleepless Society group meet is growing. The sisterhood is growing. At what pace, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter, because things are going to grow the way God wants them to, but it will grow healthy as long as he is in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's important to maintain that integrity and that sisterhood bond, and keeping Christ at the focus of it, because mm-hmm. he's the one that started it. So how dare I make the sisterhood about Veronica? How dare I hear God say, okay, Danny's going to help you, but then it's also going to branch out to this young lady, and this young lady's going to help with the calls, and this young lady's going to help with the calls, but I keep my mouth shut and don't say anything because I want everyone giving Veronica the praise for mm-hmm. the quote-unquote good preaching that she does on Thursday mornings. No, because it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the sisters. It's about the whole. It's about the collective. And the better mm-hmm. we are, the healthier we are as a body of Christ. Oh my goodness, what can we do mm-hmm. as a healthy body of Christ?
Unstoppable.
Because we're a little sick right now. You look mm-hmm. around, everything that's going on in the world, we're a little sick right now. But man, mm-hmm. if we can get healthy, imagine what we can do when we have working members. When your body, we're the body of Christ, okay? So the pinky can't say to the thumb, I don't need you. Every part of our body is important. Everyone has a different task. And if everyone is walking in their purpose, if everyone is functioning in a holistic way, if everyone is healthy, then that means the body is healthy. We're about building the healthy body of Christ through the sisterhood and whatever else it may take. So that's what we're about.
Amen.
Amen.
Something important, something that stood out to me that you said, and well, actually, that both of you ladies said in starting your ministries between the well and the sisterhood is,
mm-hmm.
you know, I heard that initial, I don't like the word fear because that's not of God, but
no,
I got
hesitant.
Fear.
It's fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's fear.
Yeah, okay.
It's
so
fear.
You
okay.
Said,
it's doubt.
You know, that stood out to me. You know, and I think saying that is important because, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of people who still live in that fear. You know, although mm-hmm. God says that I need you to move on this and this is your assignment, sometimes mm-hmm. we feel like we just aren't worthy. You know, sometimes
right.
we feel like, oh,
yes.
God, I hear that you said that I can do this, but I don't think that I'm capable enough to do that. But one of the most important things that I always say to everybody is God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Whatever it is he calls us to come out here and do, whatever ministry he calls us to go ahead and start, he's already given us those tools to be able to get that done. So fear shouldn't even be an option. Yeah, you may be a little hesitant in the beginning, I mean, because that's just natural. But don't dwell in that. Don't live in that. And I'm preaching to myself right now.
Right.
You know, you can't live in that because God assigned that to you. And without you, it's not going to get done. You know, or
mm-hmm,
it's not going to be done the way that God wants it to be done because it's your assignment and your assignment alone. You know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I think it's really important to, you know, I'm glad that both of you were able to even to admit that it was some hesitance in the beginning because it's natural.
Absolutely. And to really tell on myself, fear was involved because I definitely did not feel like I was qualified. I mean, who am I? I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. I know the word, and that's cool. I know some of it. Yeah, I could, but am I really qualified? Like, I'm not a Danny. I'm not a Daniel. Like, I'm none of these people. So it was that, but at the same time, I have confidence in myself because I have confidence in the God I serve, and I know I'm made in His image. So my confidence isn't always necessarily an issue. The number one thing that kept me from doing the sisterhood prayer call when He told me to be totally honest, was laziness. I did, and that's why I said when I asked the other woman to do it, it was because I didn't want the full responsibility. That's what it really was. I'm slightly embarrassed to say it, but that's what it was. That's just honest. I was being lazy. But what I've learned is that God will provide you with everything that you need. And if He tells you to do something, you're going to do it. You're going to do it.
Right.
The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. To get from A to B, you can go in a straight line. You can go, and that's how you're going to get there the quickest. But see, instead of going in a straight line, I took a left, took a right, a zigzag, a circle back around, and then I decided to go. I wasted time.
I think the other thing is,
when I could have gone straight there.
Sorry.
Okay.
For me, it wasn't even... I had a lot of self-doubt at the time because of past church hurt. I had been told so many times by so many different people that you're not ready. And I was just like, but the word, I'm thinking, and I should have said something, was that I should have questioned them to get my answers instead of internalizing it, because that's what I did. But I was very young in my faith. Even though I had been a believer for a very long time, I didn't understand what I believed until I got older. And once I understood it, it was literally like the scales fell off my eyes, and I was like, I gotta do something. And I was on fire for God at the time, and I allowed man to throw water on my fire and put it out. And it caused a downward spiral. And I wish I would have said something, but It was fear in the sense that I felt that they were right about my character or my maturity. And I was afraid that I was being disobedient to God because these were leaders in the church. So I'm like, well, the leaders know, right? I mean, they know. They know. They talk to God just like me, right? So if they're telling me I'm not ready, I must not be ready. I must need to do something. But everything that I tried to do kept getting blocked. And that's when I said, I've had enough. And I got to the point where I was like, well, you know, this whole Jesus thing, you know, I can really do without it. And I tried to run. And God snatched me back by my little baby hairs. Until I fell on my behind. And he just began to show me ways where I was going to do what he said. And so I know we have to go to commercial break right now. For those of you that don't know, this is Commission by Submission on the Melting Pot Radio Network. And we are on tonight with Lynette Trawick, the First Lady. And Veronica Crafton of the Sisterhood and the Well Women's Ministry. I'm Danny Wright of the Well Women's Ministry. The show is going to cut off. If you are online, hold on. If you are on the phone, hang on. If you're online, log back in to blogtalkradio.com/meltingpotradionetwork. We're going to go live. We've got to restart the show.
Destiny.
So hold tight.
Oh, Lord, please reveal my identity. Oh, Lord, please reveal my come forth. I cannot stand in the image of someone else. Lord, please make me the man you created me to be. Oh, Lord, please reveal my identity. And I began to really begin to thank God and praise Him because I started searching myself. And you know, Chris, I had to come to an understanding with myself. See, sometimes you got to look within yourself and see what the problem really is. The applaud is good. The